Hey, everybody. Trump as the crypto president. That's right. Christopher Alexander joins us. And then Kurt Schlichter joins the program to talk about his new book as we dive into the Hunter Biden news. And also, should we fight fire with fire? Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump.
We're going to fight and we're going to win.
Charlie Kirk, Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Lara Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Benny Johnson, Jack Posobiec, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message. We play to win.
Register now at tpaction.com/peoples.
Kurt Schlichter is with us. Kurt, I want your reaction to Hunter Biden now being a convicted felon. Apparently that is the worst thing someone can be. Your reaction, Kurt?
Well, look, I mean, he was convicted of a crime that's actually a crime with evidence that's actually evidence. And boy, it really took the DOJ a while to do this. They did not want to do it. But once they did, he was convicted, and he should have been. But Charlie, the interesting part is, I think he's got, and I'm not alone, I think he's got very viable appellate issues that could get this whole conviction thrown out.
Yeah, so again, or Biden could just end up pardoning his son. Your thoughts, Kurt, though, on the unequal application of justice. Here I have the Marco Polo report, which is, if I were to read some of this on air, I would lose my radio license. Or show it. I mean, this makes Pornhub look like Cocomelon.
Yeah, there. Look, I'm getting very, very tired of the unequal justice here. If you go and destroy the statues of American heroes, all the while screaming about murdering the Jews, nothing's going to happen to you. If you leave a skid mark on a pride flag that somebody decided to paint in the middle of the street, well, that's a felony. It is unsustainable. It is good that Hunter Biden was convicted, because if you or I had lied on a gun form, you or I would be convicted. We're when we talk about retribution and revenge in terms of Donald Trump taking office, what we're really talking about is applying whatever the new norms are equally. And we are not talking about inventing crimes or making them up. What we're talking about is the new norms where you don't give a pass to political opponents because to prosecute them on something that's iffy as opposed to very clear, like the Hunter Biden conviction, it hurts the system. Well, we decide we'd rather hurt our enemies, even if it costs hurting the system. So that's the new rule. I don't like the new rule. I was against it. I think you were against it, too. But I don't unilaterally disarm. So maybe after a little while, we can come back and go back to the old rules. Or maybe we can just continue to go the way we are. But either way, they're going to get what they give us, period.
Yeah. And so, and Kurt, you've said, and it's one of your best quotes, you said, listen, there's a gun on the table and only one side gets the gun, the left or the right. Can you walk us through this metaphor? And it seems as if that some people on the right, they would rather lose honorably and give the metaphorical gun to the left.
Look, the left is willing to use not only the power it has under the normal rules and norms, but any power it can take. And the problem is there are a lot of conservatives out there who would rather lose than win. We're not guaranteed victory if we fight back. We are guaranteed defeat if we do not. I'm under no moral obligation to become less free because of somebody else's principles, and I refuse to. I'm an American citizen. I will be treated equally, and I will do whatever it takes to ensure that I am treated equally under the law and that my rights are preserved. That's not open to debate, and that's what the supporters of Donald Trump are really talking about. When they talk about revenge, what they're really talking about is having the same rules applied to them. And here's the problem, Charlie. We are not talking about inventing crimes or bearing false witness or being a corrupt judge. All things specifically called out in the Bible, by the way. We're not talking about doing any of that. We are talking about aggressively using the law where in the past we would have been more circumspect about it. And I think circumspection is often a good idea. But, you know, I was outvoted on that. They decided to create a new rule, and now they're going to get it good and hard because there is no way they will ever change back unless they suffer the consequences of their decisions. We are not obligated to lose because of principles. If you have a principle, Charlie, that makes you less free, I submit it's a bad principle and you should stop doing it.
So, Kurt, it's important to remember they got Trump on a novel legal theory they've never used before. So I just want here's a couple of good questions to ask the relatives in your life, which is they say, how many, what is it, 35 felonies, 47, what is it, 35 felonies, 47, whatever counts, 34. So ask a liberal in your life, what are the 34 felonies?
Yes. No, exactly. I mean, look, if you need a process, an engineering process diagram to explain what the crime is, and I've been a lawyer for 30 years, Charles. I'm a pretty good lawyer. You know, ask around among some conservative folks. I do a pretty good job of it. I don't understand exactly what the crime's supposed to be, and I cannot count the errors I saw in that trial. When you're prosecuting a public figure, you want a case like the Hunter Biden case, where you have very clear wrongdoing, leave the appellate issues aside, very clear wrongdoing, and very clear evidence about it. You don't want to have to stretch it, massage it. They did that with Bob O'Donnell in Virginia. They did that with Tom DeLay.
And it got overturned unanimously at the Supreme Court. And Jack Smith was the lunatic that was pushing it.
Bingo. Exactly. And Jack Smith's doing the same thing with these ridiculous alleged crimes in D.C., Florida, and Atlanta. Fortunately, Judge Cannon in Florida is acting like a federal judge typically does, in my experience, which is, no, you're going to do it right and you're going to do it my way. And that's how it's going to be. I think that one gets tossed. And I think the others get tossed on appeal. Assuming there's a conviction down the road, if they even get that far. But you can't have a system where it's essentially legal Mad Libs, where you just kind of fill in the blank. Yes. If you're going to prosecute a political opponent, it has to be absolutely clear cut and the evidence has to be unequivocal. And none of that was true in this New York City abomination.
So Kurt, and it's important also to remember, the statute of limitations is a tradition that we have passed down, so the government can't do politicized, biased crimes unnecessarily long in your past. This is important. So
the statute of limitations is such a vital part of our common law.
Yes.
Essentially, a statute of limitations says you have X number of years from the date of the crime to file charges. Now, there are a couple classic offenses that don't have a statute of limitations. Murder typically does not have a statute of limitations. But all the others do. And why? Why is that? Because memory fades. Evidence goes away. You had Donald Trump. They revitalized the civil statute of limitations for this ridiculous sexual assault case in New York City. How is Donald Trump supposed to go back and come up with evidence about what happened 34 years ago?
Yep.
Hell, the woman couldn't even tell you where it was or how it happened or when it happened.
This is the quintessential reason
you have a statute of limitations.
This is the kicker. So people don't know this. On his way out, Governor Andrew Cuomo signed into law an extension of the statute of limitations because of COVID. The only state to do it. So now the statute of limitations in New York is 6 years and 47 days. Whereas if Cuomo would not have signed that bill into law, Alvin Bragg would have expired the statute of limitations. Even worse, he upgraded things from a misdemeanor to a felony to fit into Andrew Cuomo. So, and you know this, Kurt, it's almost always 5 years.
Yeah.
5 years for non-capital offenses. That is federal, state, almost always. Almost no exceptions. And they twisted just the statute issue in such an unprecedented way. Before I tell you about a very special offer, I want to first explain why this product is absolutely worth it without the discount. I don't take a particular supplement just because I get a discount. Anything as important as nutrition, I'll research that first. If you go to balanceofnature.com, then scroll down to their homepage to see all that goes in each bottle of Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies, you'll see, like I did, it's well worth it. But not just the ingredients, the real stories from real customers, and they have hundreds of thousands of customers. Each customer success story is just another example of how people are finding and taking Balance of Nature fruits and veggies. Take their risk-free money-back challenge today and use discount code CHARLIE to get 35% off your first order, plus a free fiber and spice supplement. Call 800-246-8751 or order online at balanceofnature.com. Use discount code CHARLIE, get 35% off plus a free fiber and spice supplement. Use discount code CHARLIE to get my special offer. That is discount code CHARLIE. Kurt Schlichter continues us. Kurt, can you just close the thought here? Andrew Cuomo signs into law. This is a lesser reported element of this. Under the typical standard operating procedure, it's 5 years, signed, sealed, and delivered, period. Yet it was 6 years and 47 days just for Donald Trump. Kurt Schlichter.
Look, if you rewrite the rules to reopen cases that have gone dormant, that's a real problem. But, you know, Charlie, it's also a real opportunity because a lot of the statute of limitations on the Russiagate stuff has faded. The statute of limitations on a lot of the COVID lies have lapsed. On a lot of the lies to Congress that the Democrat witnesses and Democrat officials have given. I see huge opportunities here by revitalizing the statute of limitations on crimes that we select in order to get our political enemies. Now, make no mistake, I think this is a bad policy, but apparently the people making the rules have decided it's a good policy, so perhaps we ought to use the new rules.
If we only had people on our side that was willing to enforce the law, Kurt, help me understand. I'm going to have you play a little, let's just say, TV psychologist here. Help me understand the psychology of Republican attorneys general, of Republican DAs. And I wrote down what you said because I thought it was noteworthy. Republicans on our side would rather lose than win. Where does that come from? The kind of pseudo-suicidal behavior of the Republican Party.
A lot of them put the institutions first. For instance, we saw Jeff Sessions go in, and he put Trump's first attorney general. He was a guy who grew up in the Department of Justice. And he went in, and his priority was the institution of the Department of Justice rather than its objective, the justice. Look, Charlie, it's hard to fight for what's right. It's easy to just go along and pretend that the system works, to default to the idea that everything is hunky-dory. Well, everything's not hunky-dory. We have a broken system. We have broken institutions. We have institutions that have been inherited by cultural trust fund babies who didn't build them, didn't fight for them, don't care about them, and use them only for their personal gain instead of what the institutions are meant to be for. And it is bizarre that you have these Republicans who don't want to go and, have justice done. Look, when did Republicans become opposed to punishment? I thought we were, you break the law, you go to jail kind of folks. But you've got so many of these Republicans out there, Charlie, who want to give a pass to Democrats because OMA principles and the norms. When did we stop want of punishing wrongdoing? The Democrats have been doing criminal things, have been doing things that are wrong, and I think they need to be held accountable.
Well, When did that make me not a Republican? At the best reading, I think that there is this fear that if we start to enforce the law, we become the Soviet Union. Hey, pal, we are the Soviet Union, okay? So I don't quite... Yeah. I'll just give you a great example. The Attorney General of Alabama, Steve Marshall, nice guy. I've texted with him before. He's completely useless. The Southern Poverty Law Center is headquartered in Montgomery, Alabama. They could do an open investigation. By the way, we have publicly reported instances of lots of issues at the SPLC. You know the SPLC, Kurt. They have $400 million. They're incredibly powerful. Yep. In deep red Alabama, you want to talk about jurisdiction. You have a superhighway to go into one of the left's most cherished nonprofits. He's done nothing. New York created an NRA war room to destroy the National Rifle Association, and they did quite a heck of a job, to be honest. They have significantly weakened the NRA. And I could go piece by piece. No indictments of BLM. No indictments of the Antifa folks.
I think you're absolutely right. I think it is time that we start investigating crimes wherever they lie. And the problem for the Democrats is they're actually criminals. We have to be framed. Donald Trump had to be framed because he didn't break any law in any sense that we understand the law or any sense that the American experience understands law. But the Democrats, they're a bunch of corrupt criminals. Just look at Hunter Biden.
Kurt Schlichter, check out his book, The Attack. Excellent commentary here, Kurt. If we don't fight fire with fire, we will not have a civilization, period.
Kurt, that's right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Charlie.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. What an unbelievable start to 2024. We had last month saving babies with preborn by providing ultrasounds. And we're doing again this year what we did last year. We're going to stand for life because remaining silent in the face of the most radically pro-death administration is not an option. As Sir Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing, and we're not going to do nothing. Your gift to preborn will give a girl the truth about what's happening in her body so that she can make the right choice. $280 can save 10 babies. $28 a month can save a baby a month all year long. And a $15,000 gift will provide a complete ultrasound machine that will save thousands of babies for years and years to come. And will also save moms from a lifetime of pain and regret. Call 833-850-2229. That's 833-850-2229, or click on the preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com, and click on the preborn banner. Also save moms from a lifetime of pain and regret. I'm a donor to this organization. They're terrific. Go to charliekirk.com, click on the preborn banner. Really exciting about this guest here. Joining us now is Christopher Alexander. He's a crypto expert and chief analytics officer at the Pioneer Development Group. Christopher, welcome to the program. Christopher, I'm very pro-crypto, and I'm thrilled that President Trump is embracing the crypto movement. Let's just take this back to elementary basics. Explain to our audience, what is cryptocurrency and what is the significance it has in this new digital era?
Sure. So cryptocurrencies are built on technology that's considered or known as blockchain technology. The simplest way to think about it is this. You can timeshare your car. You can timeshare your home. Well, cryptocurrency allows you to timeshare your computer, and then you receive a digital reward, a token, a currency that you can exchange for using your computer's processing power. It gets more complex as we move out, but that's the core idea.
So there's been a lot of chatter about Bitcoin, Ripple, all sorts of different types of cryptocurrencies in recent years. Explain to us the stakes of why crypto is so hated by certain people in the government and certain people in big finance and big banks.
Sure. Well, you start at the philosophical level. And, you know, since what the Renaissance or before that, the elites have controlled what? Government, banking, and art, right? And so I think that's part of why you see this NFT vitriol, right? Someone pays a couple hundred grand for a banana taped to a canvas at Art Basel in Miami. It's great. Someone buys a Bored Ape token. It's terrible. So I think there's sort of an existential threat to the gateways of power for elites. And then more specifically, you don't charge fees for banks. You can send money all year long, even at Christmas, with crypto. It's a better form of finance overall, once they work out a few of the kinks, since it's a new technology. And so it's just a threat across the board. Now, for the SEC, they have this kind of creeping authoritarianism where they're trying to control this with all sorts of regulation by enforcement. And I think the threat to Wall Street and the threat to banking drives the SEC to be very defensive on the Democratic side.
Yeah. So again, I'm very pro crypto because decentralized currency, I think, is incredibly empowering for tens of millions of Americans that are losing faith in the dollar. Bitcoin is now $66,000 per coin, which is unbelievable when you think about it. And it's directly, in my opinion, it is connected with people losing faith in traditional monetary systems such as the U.S. dollar or the euro. And so their assets will then go to something they trust, and there's only a finite supply. Explain to our audience, and then I want to get into the politics of it, explain to our audience why Bitcoin, there's only so many Bitcoins. By whomever designed Bitcoin, was it Satoshi or something?
It was Satoshi Nakamoto.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So that was off the top of my head. Not the way he designed it, or she, was it was by definition inflation-proof because it becomes more energy-intensive the more coins you try to mine. Explain.
Sure, or they, and I mean they, yes, in the traditional use, then it may be a group of people.
No, that's correct. No, but, it could have been a group. That's right.
Yeah, people talk about that. That's one of the reasons I bring that up. But there's a limited amount of Bitcoin that can ever be mined. And in fact, I think we're down to the few final percentage points. I think there's like 3-4% of all the Bitcoin left that can be mined now. So it creates a demand side pressure. It just creates a supply side pressure, and then demand moves over time. So the idea was that it would get harder and harder to mine the currency, and that would take more high performance computing power, and it would take more electricity. And this actually goes all the way back to Henry Ford talking about electricity being a form of currency, in the 20s. So the idea was that you would have high performance computing power and electricity used to secure the blockchain and protect this network that the currency moved through. So you have a built-in scarcity by design that also includes, by the way, with the mining of it. So you have to run this high-performance computing power, and then you get you solve a block and you get a certain amount of coins. Well, that coin amount drops every 4 years. So what that means is there's a constant drive to innovate, that is to find more efficient electricity sources, to use less electricity to mine, and to develop more powerful computing capability. And what the Democrats have done is they've attacked high-performance computing. They've attacked Bitcoin, saying there's an environmental problem. But in reality, what's happening is Bitcoin is working to solve these problems with these built-in pressures.
I love it. So let's now talk, what is CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency?
So a CBDC is essentially, but by the way, the same people who say Bitcoin isn't money, Ethereum isn't money, say that a CBDC is money.
Yeah,
which is kind of ironic,
inherently contradictory. So yeah,
yeah. I mean, Ultimately, all three versions are, you know, whether it's fiat, Bitcoin or CBDC, they're kind of faith-based currencies at this point, right? None of them are trading against a gold reserve or anything like that. It's people's confidence in it. Just as you brought up, people are becoming discouraged in elite institutions and they're moving their money to other places. But a CBDC is an official government currency. And the concern on the kind of libertarian and civil rights side, and by the way, this should not be a bipartisan issue, and Republicans as well as libertarians, of course. But you can restrict it. So, for example, you would have these, this digital coin in your wallet, just like you'd have money in your bank account. But the government could say, we don't like your search history, so we're going to restrict your ability to spend your own money in your wallet because you could program a CBDC mm-hmm. to do that. Or we're going to freeze your account, or we're not going to let you spend it on certain things that we think are, as it was the Soviets called them, counter-revolutionary activities.
Yes.
So that's what makes them very, very troubling. And the even bigger sort of specter out on the horizon is BRICS. And BRICS is talking about creating some form of a basket currency, potentially of a CBDC, so that they can circumvent SWIFT. The BRICS countries are tired of U.S. hegemony in finance. They don't like what they saw with sanctions over the past eight to 10 years. And this may actually be a way to skirt it. So ultimately, CBDC is an official government currency, and there are a lot of civil rights risks associated with it.
So when Donald Trump says he's against a CBDC, that is saying that he does not believe that the federal government should create a central bank digital currency. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I'm certain that his chief crypto advisors explained to him the inherent risks. I mean, it's Operation Choke Point from the Obama administration on steroids.
Yeah. So has Biden come out on stating his opinion on the central bank digital currency?
I think he's signaled that he's still interested in it. It's one of the few pieces of legislation that there wasn't like an immediate veto threat on. I'm sure they see the value of, a currency that fits into the Biden administration's approach to having more centralized government, centralized control. So it would make sense. Honestly, he's too busy defending SEC overregulation when a bipartisan bill goes up to him that he vetoes, the Staff Accounting Bulletin 21 for the SEC, or threatening to veto the FIT 21 Act, which finally gave rules to industry and promoted innovation. I mean, he's busy undoing or blocking all sorts of things. And I think that's his priority over supporting the CBDC.
So can you talk about how many Americans care about the crypto issue? How many Americans own some form of cryptocurrency?
Yeah, this is pretty amazing. A poll just came out that refined these numbers. So basically 19%, just slightly under 1 in 5 Americans, owns a cryptocurrency. What's particularly interesting about this is you are split between Republicans and Democrats. You have a significant number, overrepresentation of African Americans and Hispanics, and you have an overrepresentation of people with college degrees. And so what I think is so fascinating about the Trump campaign strategy here is those are three areas that they wanted to do better in. So when it comes down to the number of registered voters that own crypto, I saw an interesting stat. I think it was 11% of registered voters hold more than $1,000 in cryptocurrency. And that's more than enough to tip the balance in a given state in an election.
And what is the age demographic of individuals that typically own cryptocurrency?
About 18 to 34. It skews younger, which is, kind of a fourth pillar that really strengthens the Trump campaign.
So when President Trump says he'll be the crypto president, that is in great contrast with what the big banks or what the government would want. And it's very, very good for the American economy. Your thoughts, please, Christopher.
It is. And actually, he's kind of opening up a new front, I think, in the next week or two. He's going to a big event. And he's Bitcoin mining event. And he's going to be having a presidential Bitcoin mining roundtable. And this is really a problem for the Biden administration because they have been pushing talking points that mining Bitcoin is damaging the environment for about 2 years now.
Of course, because this is the one thing. If you are pro-crypto, not only should you be pro-Trump for the crypto stuff, how are you going to be able to get the BTUs necessary to mine your coins? You think a bunch of solar and wind and is going to get that? No, you need hydroelectric, you need nuclear, and most importantly, you need good old petroleum fossil fuels to power your ambitious goals to get the next Doge coins. You might have heard Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of this cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly onto you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, and some of you may not even know about it. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel set, $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, their premium MyPillows with the all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. This amazing offer won't last long. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425 today. That is promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Talk about how energy intensive creating a coin is and why the green agenda is inherently at odds with the needs to mine cryptocurrency effectively.
Sure. And actually, there's a bright spot here. You know, you mentioned using fossil fuels and, you know, natural gas spun into electricity, burning the methane out of it is a huge opportunity for Bitcoin mining. And there is a ton of flared gas. So, you know, the left is even wrong there. In their approach to it, there is a lot of waste, flared gas that's going up in the atmosphere. The methane is terrible. The Inflation Reduction Act has billions, tens of billions dedicated to it. And you could go right down to Texas and Oklahoma and a few places and
go to the Permian Basin. They have methane. The best way to explain it is that it's like the fizz that comes out after you open a can of Coke, meaning it comes up naturally, yeah. And there's no really use for it unless you're trying to mine crypto.
And so now how does that work? So this is really interesting, even when we talk to oil and gas producers. So in the past, so to back up, right, high-performance computing, Bitcoin, AI, uses a lot of electricity. Roughly the industry standard to produce a single Bitcoin, it takes about $20,000, sometimes more, worth of electricity to produce a Bitcoin, assuming Bitcoin's around like $60,000. What happens is, the more people that mine, the more difficult it is to solve a block, right? That's encryption. That's why it's called crypto. And, the more the computers have to work. So it burns a lot of electricity, just like AI does. And there's been since about 2022, the Democrats have had these talking points attacking crypto, saying it's incredibly wasteful. The fact is, with Bitcoin in particular, it focuses on innovation. So the idea is to use less electricity, get better at high-performance computing, and that's like the way NASA used to contribute technology, right? So you solve these problems like Formula One does, and then they work their way to other industries. So Bitcoin has that opportunity, which is why it's such a problem when they're attacking Bitcoin mining, because Bitcoin mining is high-performance computing innovation in this country. And it's something that should have been tied to the CHIPS Act more closely. It can benefit from it. But it just speaks to this problem. But to specifically, you take a trailer of about 40-foot trailer. You put 100 to 300 of these mining machines called ASICs in. And you can go to a natural gas site. You can go to a garbage dump. You can go wind. Solar is really difficult. It just doesn't produce enough electricity. And you can plug up right there on site. It's a very small footprint. And now you're able to mine. And I think you're looking at about a megawatt to a megawatt and a half of power that's consumed by this 40-foot trailer. And that can be as much as a city of 50,000 people in a day. So it uses a lot of power, but there's a ton of waste energy lying around that we can take advantage of. And at the end of the day, it's promoting American innovation.
So in closing here, Christopher, let's talk about just the brass politics. In your world of crypto, of people you know, have you seen individuals that were either Trump skeptic or Trump opposed that have moved to Trump sympathetic or Trump supportive because of his embrace of crypto?
I have, and it's a little anecdotal, but you know, Twitter crypto or Twitter X is a pretty good place to get the barometer, because a lot of the big influencers and movers and shakers in the industry like to comment there. And I was astounded after the verdict, the number of people said, you know, that's it, I'm donating. And I think that's really, really significant for two reasons. One, you know, there was some reporting that just came out that they're struggling, both campaigns, on smaller donations. And so being able to unleash the power of the crypto community, both the high value donors and the average person, it's a whole new frontier. I think for the average crypto person, they've watched this regulation by enforcement from the SEC, arbitrary enforcement of rules, you know, kind of a form of lawfare. And then they're seeing this lawfare against President Trump, and they really empathize and they recognize it. And I think it has pushed a lot of people who maybe were on the sidelines and just said, I'm going to sit this one out. Definitely independents, some Democrats and Republicans that were maybe never Trumpers are definitely energized by it.
Christopher, you know your stuff. You're welcome back anytime. I'm a huge crypto believer because we at the people need to take back control of our money. The government should not have a monopoly on money. They've abused that monopoly. They are inflating our currency. Take back control of your money. Cryptocurrency is a great option. Thank you so much, Christopher.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.